Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 376. This is the wavelength edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week. Yeah, about that. Usually we start this episode, or this episode should have been recorded on Sunday night. Instead, it's on Tuesday morning because I'm just that far behind the times. It is that fun time of the year where everything kind of piles all up on you at once. And I've been watching a lot of Phillies baseball in October, so anytime that I get a chance to watch my team and try and do things at the same time, you know, when things go awry, I need to kind of focus on the task at hand. And unfortunately, that time, that meant actually waiting to record until after I had fallen asleep. There is a point in time I've been talking about a little while now for when your body says, you know what, you should probably go to sleep. And a wise lady once said to me, how about getting some sleep? Actually, two very wise ladies have said this to me. My mother's probably the person who said it first, foremost, and probably the most often. And my wife is the person who said it most recently. Yet I sit here after hours recording yet again to hopefully bring you yet a fun version of the Caffeination Podcast, episode number 376. Huge number. Thank you so much for sticking around. So some things have happened. If you follow me on Twitter, if you're over at Facebook, you might have ought to seen what has happened since the last time I spoke to you, and all the funeral stuff has blown over. That no more deaths in the family. That, of course, is the fantastic news. The unfortunate news was that on Friday, while I was playing with my son, I happened to break my hand yet again. This time, not nearly as severe as the times before. Yes, I am getting a little old for shattering my hands and doing all kinds of fun things, but I have a defense to fall back on. I do have a bone disease, so it's not that fun little brittle bone disease, but it does make my bones especially brittle, just in the hand areas, and only actually in the fourth and fifth fingers in the areas surrounding that. So it's just kind of frustrating to be my age and still breaking bones like I was running around on a playground or something. And to have the woman in the ER actually tell me, well, you know, after guys get to a certain age, they all come in here after they were playing with their kids. It's like, you know what? That's above and beyond. Thank you. Would you please learn how to read an X-ray? I'm going to be posting a whole bunch of things over at my other blog eventually about this after I calm down a little bit, but there's certain fun things that I guess people in the medical profession, or at least that end of the medical profession, have never heard of. For instance, if somebody comes in with a disease that you've never heard of, it might be a good idea, just saying, you know, spitballing here, to Google it. I know you're not supposed to go to Dr. Google for things, but, you know, I do know that there's medical journals, and they're all online and searchable. So if I say to you, hey, guess what, I have osteoendochondromatosis, and you say, I've never heard of that, and then you say, hey, you know, your x-rays look really weird, and I say, yes, of course, that's because I have osteoendochondromatosis. You still don't know what it is, and it's been 2 hours, that's more than enough time to read an article or two and say, hey, you know what, this might be the osteoendochondromatosis. Why, thank you. All right. That all out of the way. I have a lot of stuff to talk to you about here today. We have a great lineup of interesting little things, anywhere from foosball to The Simpsons. It's just crazy. We have graphic design. We have sleds. We have the Wii bike, Facebook. It's a whole bunch of stuff, and we're going to try and drive on through here. Hopefully, we're not going to waste too much of your time. I got to tell you, it's been really kind of cool and fun to play around with the different things that have been coming down the pike, and the fact that I get a chance to actually share them with you is even better. So, all right, before we get too much further into this, I did want to make mention of the fact that Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff, and all of it is hosted over at techpodcasts.com. We are also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting site. It's kind of like MySpace for podcast, or Facebook, as the kids these days call it, but, you know, It's a real cool way to kind of expand your podcasting horizons. So I highly suggest you head on over there and just wander around, see what you like. And then last but most certainly not least, the Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. The old way is to meet for business over the phone or in person. The new way, which happens to be quite a bit better, is to meet clients or colleagues online with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is just like meeting in person, but you have a couple small differences. It takes up a lot less of your time, and it's less expensive. I consider those both wins. You can start your meeting with just a click. That's how simple it is. Everyone sees your computer desktop on their screen, so you can follow along as you move from page to page, product to product, or program demo to program demo. You can use GoToMeeting to host sales presentations, training sessions, whatever it is that your heart desires. You can even collaborate on documents by sharing your screens. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings for free. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free trial. I would like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor over here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have so much stuff to talk about today. I did want to, just before we started on in the heavy hitting here, remind you that if you were looking for this episode or any of its other episodic friends, you can find them all lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's Caffeination New for those of you who can't spell. Also, if you head on over to twitter.caffeination, if you'd like to send in a phone comment to 215-240-1319 or click in the Google Voice widget at the top right-hand side of our page, you can do all of those as well. All right. Whew! A lot of intro stuff to talk about here. And of course, we also wanted to make mention of the fact that we are a proud participant of the Podcast Madness contest that's going on right now over at podcastmadness.com. You can head on over there. You can either enter in the code BLOGSIMPLE or DATA or both if your heart so desires. And you get two chances for the price of one to enter into a contest hosted over there by Jeffrey Powers, the Geekazine podcast, to get a year's subscription, rather, to Mosey. It's an online backup and disaster recovery software. It's a real good prize, and you can head on over there and enter for free. How good is that? I'd like to thank anybody who nominated me for a podcast award for 2009. If you didn't, no worries. It's all over. We're just waiting to see who exactly was nominated in all the different categories. I know that the category of tech is a huge category to try and wheedle your way into. I'm just hoping to kind of sneak in the back door, and maybe then I can start the real big push. But hey, who knows? Anything can happen, right? All right, moving right along, we have a ton of GeekCruft, a decent amount of food and caffeinated bits, and just quite frankly, not that much time to talk about it all. So we got to kind of cut our losses and head on through as quickly as possible. First thing up there, Simpsons Treehouse of Horror hits 20. I have not yet gone over to Hulu to actually view it because it was on at the same time as a Phillies game. Are you seeing the fact here? There's too many baseball games getting in the way of other things. So, you know, but still, 20 years for an animated program is insane. 20 years of a special edition of an animated program is even more insane. I think they're only second to like 60 minutes at this point for primetime programming. I know that there was a soap opera on for something like 60 years. I even believe it was Guiding Light. I have no clue why I know that, but I do know that it was probably a question in Trivial Pursuit or something that I didn't know, and I usually end up retaining them anyway. But, you know, congrats to The Simpsons for actually keeping it fresh, keeping it fun. For the most part, it's always been rather cool for the past 20 years, so it's kind of insane to see the same characters in pretty much the same grades and the same state as they were way back when. And the next fun thing to happen to The Simpsons is actually the fact that Marge Simpson is going to be the first character, animated character ever to pose for Playboy. Now, this is a little bit of a risque topic for a G-rated show, but we're going to suffice it to say that the cover is supposed to accentuate the fact that she is a stunning example of cartoon form. So that's interesting way to actually look at it, and it kind of gives validation to a lot of Homer's phobias over the past 20 years. So it's kind of funny to sit there and play around with it on that end, but at the same point in time, it's kind of weird to see an animated character ending up in a skin mag. So, all right, well, that's all we're going to talk about there, and we're going to move on to the next little topic here. Blog Design Guide Basics, the free ebook version 1, so I still have a couple little tweaks to work on this. But if you missed my presentation over at PodCamp Philly, where I talked all about colors and content weight and how to design your site for better accessibility, you too can head on over there and download a PDF. I think it's 7 pages with the inclusion of the color cover It's in full color. It's landscape, so there's a lot of good space to explain some of the concepts and a lot of the different things that I've talked about both on the show and at the presentation in PodCamp are kind of codified in a much more understandable form in the book. I have a tendency to kind of wander off verbally, so this kind of tried to bring me back down to basics, so hopefully you enjoy this. I'm always looking for feedback. I already know apparently I have to fix some of the hyphenation issues that are in the book, but other than that, I'm pretty proud of it. I think it's a good representation of the concepts and a very simple and easy to understand thing. And I actually hosted this week's edition of the Tech Podcast Weekly over at blog.techpodcast.com. And I talked a little bit about my idea for actually doing this book and the series of articles that they're based on. And my idea was that, you know, graphic designers have their place. And being an amateur graphic designer myself, I think that, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the fact that, oh, you know, I can't do this. I have to pay somebody else to do it. It's like, okay, first of all, I'd love for people to pay me to design their sites. But the fact of the matter is that you have a lot of people out there who have really good content, who have honestly ugly sites, or sites that are inaccessible to people who are either colorblind or blind. So with a couple easy tweaks here and there, you too can make your site look good. I'm not saying make it look fantastic. It's not going to win advertising design awards, but you can make it look the way that it should. And you should make it look appealing enough to the eye that your content actually shines through. Do you want your site to look like a Picasso? No, you don't, because nobody really understands that. What they understand is they understand simple and easy to read. So for functional design, this is an easy way to get started on that. So hopefully that'll help somebody else out there. We also recently got a invitation to Google Wave. I'm going to explain exactly what that is in a minute, but I would like to send a huge thank you out to JC Lampkin from the Technically Speaking Radio over at technicallyspeakingradio.blogspot.com for sending me the invite to the beta here. Google has a habit of giving out, opening up beta programs of things that are pretty much almost finished. And then they open them up, they say, okay, there's a bunch of invitations, and that basically builds the desire to get in there. And what you have with those services is not only a watering down of the beta process to where what a beta used to mean was that something was released, it's not ready for prime time, it's quite possibly going to break and it might blow up. Who knows? But what you're supposed to do is give feedback back to the people who are doing it, and they're supposed to make the release candidate that much better. So with Google Wave, Google has kind of gone back to what a beta really should be and is kind of entitled it a preview. You still have the goofballs who get in there and say, oh my god, I got into Google Wave, who have no clue what it is that they're actually supposed to be doing, which is a lot of people. A lot of people are sitting there going, okay, this is great, this is wonderful, what is it? Google has basically put this forward as a replacement for email. They say email was designed over 40 years ago to take care of the task of moving the conversation from point A to point B. Google said, hey, let's host the conversation in point C, and both A and B can get in there and see a real-time version of it. So that way you don't have multiple emails going back and forth with different edited content. And if you want to have somebody who's added into the conversation later, you can do that. It's really, at its core, it's a threaded conversation. So you can do cool things like reply in the middle of a subject or even break it out into its own little wave. They're not called messages, they're not called threads, they're called waves. So as soon as you get that down, it's pretty cool. I have a couple little articles here that hopefully help you understand exactly what Google Wave is. The first thing is under the interesting link, I had a breakdown of the initial announcement, what it can do, what it can't, what it's supposed to be able to do. And then I just started playing with it. So I wrote my first post about it, and I actually tried to embed a Google Wave into a blog post, because you're supposed to be able to do that. It didn't work yet. That's perfectly fine. I'm perfectly capable of, you know, kind of fiddling around with things, seeing how they work, seeing if it's a possibility to try and make it work. The ability to make waves public is not yet there. So if you have a Google Wave account, just add caffeination@gmail.com to your account, to your contacts inside Google, and it should hopefully add me in. So I was already working on one of the different waves with one of our listeners, Paul, so thank you so much for playing around with that with me. It's kind of fun. We were sending weather widgets back and forth to see what the weather was like in his area versus what the weather was like in my area. It's a learning process, because when you have two people editing one conversation at the same time, it's it's pretty kind of jarring to see there. You're really kind of tempted to sit there and wait to see what the other person says. But that's not how speaking happens. It's like if you have one person who's speaking a little bit slower, the chances of them getting cut off by the other person talking or the other person, you know, starting to try and interject happens. So what Google's trying to do is allow this to happen in digital form. Not that we need any more ways for people to be rude online, but this is going to be an interesting paradigm shift in the way the communication supposedly happens. Now, if you happen to get into Google Wave and you were curious about how things actually worked, there was an interesting little comprehensive guide over at Mashable, so I linked up to that. And there was also a fun little thing. It's called the manual. How many people out there actually read the flipping manual when they get into something? I'm not one of those people 90% of the time. However, with Google Wave, since it's a preview, since there's all kinds of crazy things, Google Wave is a little bit like Microsoft Office. You get in there, you know how to type a document, you can probably figure out how to do bold italics, and if you're really good, you can do a mail merge without having to look at the documentation. However, there is so much functionality just within Word itself, so that you're never really sure entirely what it is you can do. So it's like you might have somebody come along and say, hey, would you like to compile this report and do all these calculations? You say, okay. You try and open up another program. They say, oh, no, you can do everything inside of this one. They start opening up things. They push down hotkeys. That's going to be the way it is with Google Wave. You're going to have a couple people who start to try and use it for its hard and fast communication background. And then you're going to have other people who find a ways to extend it beyond anything that anybody's ever figured out. So the only problem is, in order to play around with Google Wave, other people have to have Google Wave accounts on your contact thing. This would be perfect for my wife and I, but I don't even have any invites. So it's going to be kind of fun to see where this goes. All right, next little thing we have up here is net neutrality. If there's anything that the net neutrality debate actually does in, you know, for good or bad, it's going to teach me how to spell neutrality. Still hasn't worked, but we're getting closer. So it's kind of like when I started working at the architecture department. Yeah, I eventually learned how to spell architecture. It didn't take but one or two embarrassments. All right, well, there's a fun little quick posting by Andy McCaskey, the host of SDR News, who put over at his Posterous account, which says net neutrality and open access raise the stakes. The idea here is that up until now, the Republicans have been pretty much kind of staunchly against net neutrality. Basically, they're anti-legislation, they're anti-oversight in this area. Now, the Democrats as a whole were pretty much for net neutrality. They said, you know, hey, you know, things should be open and free, but we have to kind of legislate that into effect. Now you're starting to see the lobbyists take into effect, and you're starting to see the lobbyists kind of creep in and talk different people into changing their stance or changing the wording in bills. So this is going to be the point in time where we start to see some of the more interesting things playing out on the political spectrum. Whether you're on one side or the other of the debate, everybody can pretty much agree that lobbyists are out for nobody's good but themselves. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get to and what kind of coverage that gets. So it's just wanted to kind of post it up there because I thought it was interesting. All right, next little thing we have, and now for something completely different. Snow shorts, wearable sled for kids. Imagine wearing a pair of snow pants that had a solid plastic rear end. That's what you get here with snow pants, and they're $35 for these shorts. That's pretty cool. They actually have adult sizes, so you can actually reenact your very own Clark W. Griswold moment, except you don't have the non-nutritive cereal varnish to kind of work that in there. You really need to head on over there and just take a look at it. This just looks fun. I don't care what anybody else says. And then that brought up the next thing. For some reason, whenever I do a lot of searches for coffee and coffee-related news items, I get a lot of coffee table junk. And some of them are cool and I pass them along. Other ones are not so much. And this one kind of fit in with the vein that we have here. So for the grand underpriced sum of $1,054, you too can own a coffee table that looks like a sled. Yep. That's the connection between the last two stories. I don't think I'd ever buy a coffee table for over a grand. I don't think I'd ever buy a coffee table for a grand. That's just kind of crazy. The only funny thing about it is if you put the sled on white carpet, it actually comes with its own indentation pattern behind the rails, so you don't have to keep sliding it back and forth to get that good new snow smell in it. So I just thought it was kind of funny and wanted to pass it along. All right, next to last little thing we got for you here in the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast, then we're going to be diving on into the food and caffeinated butts, is WeBike Attack of the Creepy Adapters. The creeping featurism for the Wii is getting getting out of hand. The peripherals that are stacking up for this latest generation of consoles are getting crazy. The Wii more so than some of the other ones. I mean, for instance, you can play baseball without the bat attachment to the Wiimote. You can play tennis without the racket attachment. That's just for people who don't understand angles. This is a different thing entirely. The Wii has become the premier exercise equipment for everybody's house. We use it as an exercise equipment. Well, not me. My wife does. She has a Wii Fit. She has the Wii Active one. And she really likes a lot of the different stuff there. She's really kind of crazy about exercising. So it's going to be interesting to see if anybody ever ends up getting this, because there's no price limit on this. But this is having a stationary bike that is attached to the Wiimote that actually communicates back to the screen. Apparently, there's going to be some kind of connection between this and Mario Kart, which I think is fantastic. So that you're actually going to be able to drive your cart around there. So it's going to be able to turn the Mario Karts into a big wheel. It seems kind of fun, it seems kind of cool, but then again, you have this exercise bike that's sitting in your living room or wherever that's attached to a video game system, and exercise bikes are kind of notoriously bulky. They don't really hide too well. All right, next little thing we got for you here is the Facebook page over at the Caffeination fan page over at Facebook, rather. If you head on over there, you can join in on the fun conversation and see exactly what's happening over there. So we've been posting a lot of greatest hits kind of articles and videos and stuff like that over on Facebook, so you can head on over there and check that out. That about wraps it up here for the Caffeination or for the GeekCraft section at the Caffeination podcast. Next little thing we're going to dive on into is a fun little section I like to call the food and caffeinated bits. Why is that? Because it has a lot of food and caffeinated bits in it. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, please feel free to throw them directly at the wall behind caffeination@gmail.com, and eventually they'll drip down into my inbox. I would also kindly suggest that if you wanted to add a voice comment, if you'd like to add your own little voice into the show, please feel free to do so over 215-240-1319. All right, up first we have an article from over at energyfiend.com. Healthy scam or healthy bottom line? There's an entirely interesting and I think kind of ridiculous new kind of energy drinks that are coming out that are called healthy energy drinks. They're supposed to be, they have all kinds of guarana in them, they have caffeine, some of them are listed as diet drinks, others are listed as meal replacement shakes, and they all have caffeine, some of them are weight loss supplements, and it's kind of interesting to see some of them come down the pike, and I really kind of go to places like Energy Fiend, because when they test things, they actually put all of the nutrition information up there. The people over at Energy Fiend actually call the companies half the time to try and get the actual amount of caffeine that's in them. So you really have to kind of be very wary of anything that says it's healthy and yet gives you energy. Power bars are incredibly caloric and stuff like that. But, I mean, this goes beyond that, because there's a certain level of moderation that needs to be kind of taken under consideration whenever you're doing and dealing with caffeine. So you're going to have the people who are doing the crazy diet stuff, and they're going to sit there, and they're already on low calories for the day, and they're going to start slamming back caffeinated energy drinks. Yeah, that might end up a little bit badly. Just kind of putting that out there. So there's all kinds of mainstream healthy or natural energy drinks. There's multi-level marketing healthy energy drinks, and they do a really good rundown of them over at Energy Fiend. So I just wanted to kind of point you in that general direction. All right, over here we have Mario Bonbons and 8-Bit Love to the Better Than You crowd. Yes, I don't think I've ever actually eaten a bonbon. I couldn't tell you exactly what they taste like, but these look really cool. They're tiny little gum paste figurines on top of little chocolate truffles of some sort. This is like really, really crazy. Just the length and breadth of the different things that they have on top of them. They have Goombas, they have 1-Up Mushrooms, they have the Piranha Plants, they have Mario's Head, they have a Fire Flower, a Cactus, Luigi's Head, they have the Bomb Bomb, they have the Star, the Question Block, there's Turtle Shells, there are Koopa Shells, rather. There's also an entire list of different Pikachu ones, their Pokemons, and other characters that exist in different space. So this woman is obviously incredibly talented. It's just insane to see the length of things that she can create on top of a bonbon that is immediately recognizable. So it's kind of fun and cool, so I wanted to post that up there. All right, another little story from over at energyfiend.com. I've seen this one floating around a lot. There apparently Monster Energy Drink is suing a brewery from Vermont. The brewery is actually called Rock Art Brewery, and they have a drink called the Vermonster. They put it out there for their 10-year anniversary. It's an alcoholic beverage. I think it has roughly 10% alcohol by volume. They're trying to go with the 10 theme. If you watch the interesting little clip, if you're ever at all into beer, you should watch this guy, because he can tell he loves beer. But they got a cease and desist letter that basically says that they're no longer supposed to be able to sell the thing because it's infringing upon Monster's trademark. I don't know anyone anywhere who would ever make a mistake between Monster the energy drink and Vermonster the beverage, especially because Vermonster is also a flavor of Ben and Jerry's, and they haven't said anything yet either. So the only funny thing that I've seen about this entire debacle, this is just ridiculous from start to finish. The people over at Rock Art Brewery are actually trying to have a national boycott of Monster energy drinks and the company that actually makes them. I think that if you're going to try and find a way to hit a multi-level corporation like this, this is one of the easiest ways to do it if it gains traction. And these kind of stupid lawsuits usually kind of gain some kind of fluff time in the local news somewhere. So if it gains any kind of traction, it's going to, you know, start to cause a dip in somebody's bottom line, and that's what they're hoping happens. The only funny thing about this entire thing, like I said, is that the logo for the Rock Art Brewery is Coco Pelle. Coco Pelle is a fertility deity. It's a humpback flute player, also known as a water sprinkler. So it's indigenous to the Native American cultures in southwestern United States. I thought it was kind of funny that they put a fertility god on beer, because I'm pretty sure that Vermonster might have had a hand in some Coco Pelle's realm. So I thought it was kind of fun to pass that along as well. We try and educate as we go along here. All right, and then the last little story that we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast. Like I said, it's kind of a late record here, so we're trying to rock one out real quick. Have you ever tried to play with your food? Well, now you can, because you can have gumball foosball. I love myself some foosball. I love foosball almost as much as I love bubble hockey, which is saying something, because I really like me some bubble hockey as well. I need a bubble hockey table for my basement at some point in the future. I know it's not going to be a near future. At some point in the distant future, I need a bubble hockey table for my basement. That's just a moral imperative. However, a foosball table is pretty cool as well. This has two massive containers of gumballs at either side, and when one person scores, a gumball is released from one of the containers, and then you can go about playing again. This is really, really cool. The only problem is it's a whopping $1,500. So if you'd like to rot your kids' teeth while they're getting a little fun away from the computer, then you too could get your gumball foosball machine. So there you go, and here we are. I'd like to thank everybody for sticking around for this rapid fire edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. This was also the wavelength edition, because we talked significant amount about Google Wave. Hopefully you kind of waded through all that. Alright, that about wraps it up. I have had just about enough of today, and I think it's almost time to start tomorrow. So thank you so much for listening in, playing along. This has been Caffeination number 376. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, please feel free to head on over to www.caffeination.com, and you can leave comments, feedback over there, or you can email me at caffeination@gmail.com. And that pretty much wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people. We'll